Hi, and welcome to In the Studio. I'm Redbeard, bringing you the stories behind the greatest rock and roll albums in history. Today, In the Studio, we'll pay tribute to the number one rock album of 1992, U2's Achtung Baby.
It was too cozy at home. I think we needed to kind of put ourselves in an alien environment that would kind of really get the best out of the band. And at the time, we just thought, Berlin, it's a great sounding studio. There's something happening in Europe and in Germany at the time. It's all right.
The day we arrived, the wall, the border officially came down. It was reunification day, and it was like Berlin was opening up, and the East was bleeding into the West. You were acting like it was the end of the world.
...1992 was quite a year for the members of U2. Their Zoo TV tour was a huge success across North America, filling arenas and then stadiums with a technical extravaganza. U2 also became involved in the U.S. presidential race, first by calling President Bush nightly from the concert stage. By the way, he did not take U2's call. And then by chatting with now President-elect Bill Clinton, who did take their call on a national radio talk show. And U2's first album of the 90s decade, Achtung Baby, has been honored with the Album of the Year 1992. Released at the end of 91, Achtung Baby is the sound of four musicians, quote, chopping down the Joshua tree and planting the seeds for a new creative direction. This musical experiment was vital to U2's continued future as a band. The big question became whether the audience was prepared to go along with them. Well, after 13 months and over 4 million albums and 2 million concert tickets sold, the answer is unequivocally yes. The story of Achtung Baby begins when U2 decides to leave the friendly confines of Windmill Lane, their studio in Dublin, Ireland, and record the new album in Berlin. Here's Adam Clayton of U2.
I think we sort of felt it was too cozy at home. I think we needed to kind of put ourselves in an alien environment that would kind of really get the best out of the band. And at the time, we just thought, Berlin, it's a great sounding studio. There's something happening in Europe and in Germany at the time. And we kind of wanted to be able to bring those influences into the record, whether it was kind of factually or just physically being in Europe.
That's one of five number one album rock tracks from Achtung Baby. U2 with Even Better Than the Real Thing. It's interesting to note that 15 years ago, David Bowie also went to Berlin to record a new record. And lo and behold, out came the Heroes album. And it was very obvious how Bowie's time in Berlin affected his sound and even Bowie's visual image for that period. I asked The Edge and Adam Clayton of U2 to describe the Berlin they saw and how it affected the recording of the album Achtung Baby.
The moment we arrived, in fact, the day we arrived, the wall, the border officially came down. It was reunification day. And it was like Berlin was opening up and the East was bleeding into the West. And every day we, on our way to the studio, we'd see another burnt-out Trabant on the side of the road, obviously being abandoned, had made its, you know, brought its owner to Berlin, but then just expired on the side of the road. And it was a completely different mood. It was far more open. It was far more, I think, energetic in a sense. There was a lot of things going, a lot of energy, a lot of action.
Berlin also kind of had a weird thing in that the West German government had a whole different set of laws for it. So, for instance, you could avoid national service by going to Berlin because the West German government wanted to keep people in Berlin so that it could never be taken over by East Germany. So you'd find a lot of artists moving there. There was free transport, there was very low rents. It was made very comfortable for sort of a bohemian society to exist. So consequently, whenever you went out there, there was a lot of integration between all types of kind of artists and sexual persuasion. So you'd go out to a bar and there'd be, I don't know, crazy, wild music that you wouldn't expect. And there'd be couples of guys and couples of girls and heterosexual couples. And it was like all going on. So it was inspiring for us.
As inspiring as Berlin was for U2, according to The Edge, the initial recording sessions for Achtung Baby were anything but smooth.
It was the first couple of weeks of the Berlin sessions where things got a little heavy, because we'd gone to Berlin with what we thought were close to finished songs, and in the process of starting to record them, we realized that they weren't finished, and we were in a situation where we had the studio, and we just didn't have the material ready. So we were in a position of actually finishing off writing songs in the studio, which is never great because you've got a producer and engineers hanging around, and it starts to get tense. And in an atmosphere like that, it's very hard to get inspired. So there were a couple of weeks where it was not going well. And just at that moment, during the course of writing one song, this other thing came out, which eventually became One. And that was like the turning point for me. I don't know about the others, but at that moment, I realized, well, okay, we haven't had a good couple of weeks, but things are going forward, and this is the piece that we had to, at the end of the week, we knew that we had something good. Is it getting better?
That's called simply One, from Achtung Baby, the album of the year 1992 by U2. There's this house that U2 lived in upon first arriving in Berlin. With the strange tale is The Edge of U2.
When we were asked about, where do you want to stay, because we had been to Berlin, West Berlin before, and suddenly the wall was coming down, we said, okay, let's stay in the East. Our tour manager, Dennis, somehow, we don't know how he did it, he managed to get in touch with the powers that be in East Berlin, and got us into these houses. He rented this house for the first couple of weeks, which formerly had been used for visiting Communist Party officials. And apparently Brezhnev stayed in this house in the room that Bono had. Wow. It was a strange kind of a place, but we were there for a couple of weeks. Actually, while we were there, the original owner arrived one morning, just completely out of the blue. It's a weird story. Bono was actually in the hallway. He just got out of bed, was trying to get himself a glass of water down in the kitchen. And this family of West Germans walked in and started, having a look around the house and pointing out the various features and looking at photographs. And it turned out that they had the house possessed or commandeered first by the Nazis and then the Communists. And now a rock band.
God help us.
I think that was worse than anything else. I think the fascists and the communists were bad enough, but a rock and roll band.
Well, with all this bizarreness surrounding them, one constant U2 had for the Berlin recording sessions was the familiar production team of Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois. So I asked The Edge and Adam Clayton just how important Eno and Lanois were to the end result of Achtung Baby.
I have to say that both Brian and Danny's contributions were really important. I mean, the team we had for this record were a great team. Brian's understanding of not just the context of music, but the context of the visual arts and all that kind of thing added a certain confirmation to what we were trying to do, because we knew more or less the direction of the album. But it was really, we were making it up as we went along. A lot of experimentation, a lot of discussion about what we were attempting to do. And Brian would continually bring in examples of what was happening elsewhere to kind of, I would say, to confirm that we were doing something that had resonances elsewhere in what was going on in the art world and video world and what have you.
Yeah, he was very positive and very up throughout the whole period when, you know, everyone else was kind of doubting whether we could make this kind of a record. He was a great strength. You're dangerous.
That's the remix version of Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses from U2. I'm Red Beard, and we are in the studio with The Edge and Adam Clayton for U2's Achtung Baby, the 1992 Album Network Album of the Year.